Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." These are God's words. Please be seated. Dear people of God in Christ, I made a mistake. How many of us haven't said that, and how many times haven't we said it? Now, if a lot of our mistakes seem small, we think we can just sort of cover them over, and maybe no one will know about them, or we'll just forget about them ourselves. But sometimes you can't hide the mistakes that you do. Something simple like putting a bag of popcorn into the microwave, but setting the time for much longer than it should be, and all of a sudden you start to smell smoke, and you see the smoke, and you're going, "Oh, what a mistake this is. I hope the smoke alarm doesn't go off and really embarrass me." Or there could be some more serious mistakes, like coming to an intersection, running through a red light because you weren't paying attention. You could end up with a ticket, or worse, have an accident. Then there's the story that happened not that long ago of a young woman driving in Iowa, high on drugs, who ran into an Amish buggy and killed two children. What a horrendous mistake, life-changing for her life and for theirs. But that wasn't the worst sin in history. The worst sin was when Adam and Eve first fell into sin. I mean, that mistake brought effects of evil on everyone in the world, and even on all creation. Once Adam and Eve became sinners, it was impossible for them to stop this deadly harm from Satan. They couldn't on their own. And they realized that they needed God's solution. Now, God was ready to help. After the first sin, he came to approach Adam and Eve, appearing in a form that they could see. Instead of joyfully welcoming him, right, they're off hiding in the trees. But God still confronted them about their sin, not to shame them, but to help them, to save them from judgment. So he questioned them to give them a chance to admit their sin, to admit their mistake, and to seek his forgiveness. But you know the story. Adam and Eve began making excuses. They didn't want to own up to the guilt of their sin. If there had been a bus in the garden, thankfully it hadn't been invented yet, but if there had been, Adam would have thrown Eve under the bus. Why? Because sin is so powerful. We think, oh, it was probably just a few little sins. No, the evil was there within their hearts to cause that kind of harm already at the beginning. Now, certainly, We see it a little bit in the conversation with God and Adam and Eve. Adam says, the woman you gave me that fruit. So it's her fault. Eve says, that serpent and the Satan inside of him tempted me, and so I also sinned. It's not my fault. Now, the devil couldn't say anything. He couldn't blame anybody because he's the author of evil. There is no one else. The buck had to stop there. But certainly not any excuses that any of them gave that day would satisfy God's justice for sin. And we must also not think lightly of our sins as if they're not really that bad. They are that bad before God. They're horrific, and there's no excuse for them. Now, Adam and Eve's sin put them on the devil's side so that now they were willingly doing his will against God. Over time and generations, that sin manifested itself in lies, in hatred, in brutality, and in murder throughout our world. It led to sickness and aging and eventually death for all, because all have sinned. But death wasn't the end. God continued in his word, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. On judgment day, those who have rejected Jesus will hear him say, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. As sinners, we live under that same curse. But God has given us a time of grace so that we can trust in him to rescue us. He offered a saving promise already to Adam and Eve while he condemned Satan. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Notice something interesting in that verse. Who is the promise coming through? Is it Adam's seed? No, it's through Eve's seed. And later, the word of God would specifically say how God's son would take on a human nature. It was through a virgin, the Virgin Mary. God was the only father Jesus had. And so Adam's sinful nature was not passed down to Jesus, nor was the curse on him because of the way he was born directly from God creating him in the womb. The sinless Jesus, all of his life, never made one mistake. Imagine what kind of a life that was. And that didn't stop the devil from tempting Jesus to try to have him sin. And certainly he always was rallying forces to try to stop Jesus from accomplishing his work. But God would accomplish his solution. Our verses use the word bruise, but Isaiah was more descriptive when he wrote, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God punished his son for every sin that we have committed. And unlike Adam and Eve, who at least had a chance to hide in the trees, Jesus was nailed to a tree in front of all so that they could see the judgment for sins put on Jesus. And while on the cross, Jesus not only carried that physical suffering, but the eternal suffering of hell. By his innocent suffering and death, God's curse of death has been changed into a blessing for all people who trust in him. Jesus proved that by rising from the dead and physically entering heaven. By faith in him, we have the victory over sin and death and the devil. What does Christ's victory over the devil mean for us who believe in him, who believe in Jesus? Well, it does not mean the devil will leave us alone. He'll continue to tempt us to sin. But in Christ, we are going to be able to watch and pray so that we do not fall into temptation. If we do fall, and we know that will happen, we don't have to remain in that sin. God gives us the opportunity to repent and to receive Christ's forgiveness so that all those sins are taken away and not in God's sight anymore. Also, the devil's going to try to deceive us, but God has given his word of truth so that we know exactly where we stand with God. And the devil's also going to have us try to be worrying and fearful of things. But again, God said, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God is at peace with us through Christ our Savior. The devil continues to try to claim us as his own, but ever since the day we've been baptized and now through faith in Christ, we know that we belong to God. Just as Jesus promised, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. These are the promises, the solution that God has given to us to keep us from not going to hell with the devil. And we who believe in Jesus, even if we die, know that we have eternal life with God. Sometime in the future, Jesus is going to return, and he's going to put an end to this world and all the consequences of our mistakes and sins, and all the devastation of evil in the world will suddenly vanish. And the devil, the cause of all evil, and all who follow him will be separated from us forever. And we who have trusted in Jesus, receiving his holy life and his perfect sacrifice for forgiveness, will be given glorious bodies, and we'll be able to be with Jesus forever. And there, we're going to hear Jesus' voice, and we're not going to run, and we're not going to hide. We will get to joyfully welcome him and join him forever. That is God's solution. We believe it and are saved. Amen. Heavenly Father, Satan has from the beginning tried to turn us away from you and your word to his lies and errors. In our temptations, help us fix our eyes on Jesus, who endured the cross for our sakes to destroy the work of the devil. In our daily struggle against temptations and our sinful nature, shield us with your divine protection. When we are troubled, let us see how Jesus has taken away all of our sin. Help us finally to overcome and obtain the victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.